Okay, now we're getting ready for the final part D for today's presentation, and then down in part C, I have some other notes. But Wednesday, I will place another chart back there, and then we're all complete for the week. Okay, the first thing that I wanted to discuss was, of course, my own chart here, and then down below I have Jeffrey Young's chart, which I just got this chart recently. It's updated to 2002, and he sent me two or three different ways to look at this, and this is the last one, so I'm going to go with this one. And what he's doing, which is he's reaching some of the conclusions that I have, but the main thing that you have is at the top of his chart, which is the second chart. Maybe I should talk about that first, so I'll put that one up first. The green plot up at the top is the number of stocks that are above, a percentage of the stocks that are above the 50-week moving average. You'll notice in this little text below it, he says the combination of the indicator, it's NYA50R. Actually, there should be a dollar sign in front of the NY. If you're using stock charts, they put dollar signs in front of those things. So if you call that up, they'll give you an error, but they'll suggest that you're looking for the one with the dollar sign in it. So if you're using stockcharts.com, if you put in dollar sign NYA50R, you'll get the percentage of stocks above their 50-day moving average. Now, in my chart, which is also shown here, the 55-day moving average is about the same thing. And what we notice in my chart is that you're above the 55-day moving average when you're rising up at the top of the channel for a long time. And what he's seeing is that the stock market is at the it is saturating, the percentage above the 50-day moving average for each individual stock is approaching a high percentage, and that you are very likely to be in an overbought or saturating condition. And then he has his little notes and so forth, and you see that down at the bottom he's taking Parker's indicators. He's now drawing the little room T's, which I haven't had a chance to look into, but you see what he's doing is his criteria is that once you get the saturated level, what you're looking for to be on the safe side here is you're looking for a correction, then a rally tries to go to new highs, and then it falls below the earlier low, and that's a trigger point for a reversal, and that's probably the safest way to do things. And he has a note here that says that, which is a little bit difficult to leave, but he thinks that it's probably not quite at a top yet, and so he's waiting for something to happen. Well, okay. I don't have, if you don't want to ask me, you don't want to email me and say that to explain something that Jeffrey wrote, because I have my own little garden over here operating on T-theory. But I do like anyway that those blue things down at the bottom of the chart are blue T's. Okay, so anything that has a T, I'm interested in it, so I post it. But Jeffrey Young at yahoo.com, I have his email address down there. He's a doctoral student, but so you can email him and get your questions directly to him. In the case of Parker stuff, Parker also has a website. He doesn't have an email, but you leave a comment if you're following him, and you can take care of any questions you want to that way. Now, going back to my own chart, the things that leads me to believe that you're impending a correction is that the arms ratio, you see the arms starts out at 0.74, then it goes up to a 1.95, then it comes down to 1.03, 1.19, 1.00. Those last three numbers are neutral numbers. And once you get up, then you look over at the oscillator, the blue oscillator, you see that it got oversold, that it came up, and there's a little, it's gone through three dots, so that'd be the 3 days, and it doesn't seem to be wanting to go up. If that curls over now and rolls down, which it probably would do next week, you'll go down into a deep oversold condition, and you start getting some high numbers, then you're going to rally back again. But by then, the rollover of the cash buildup phase headed down to the null echo low is apparent. And the only thing you can say is we don't know what the correction is going to look like. It could be a small correction, which I think probably what Jeffrey was looking for, some kind of a correction down a little bit, then you get a rally, a very modest correction, and then you have a rally, and then when you break that modest correction low that you might see next week, you come up with that, and then you break that down. That's a signal to go short, and the assumption is, in my work, is you go into the green bottom channel line, okay? The only thing that I've seen through history is that when you get into trouble like this, and the oscillators roll over, the correction could be back to the normal correction low, which is the black line, which is rising. So if it hangs on a few more days, it's going to get closer to 1140. Then it's below 1140 now, but it could get up to 1140. It could actually, let's see, if you look at the level, it's 1132. So it's coming up. You know, it's coming up towards 1140. But I would say that the thing that I thought that was interesting in Parker's work was the double T's, where you get cycle inversions. And I made a comment on this one, is that when you look at the B and the C bottom for the double bottom T that's here, I took off all the names and everything of that, and I took an advanced timeline, because mostly you just want to see some of these interesting things a little clearer. If you take just the time span between B and C and you make a projection for where a new low might be, it's Monday, okay? But it could have been Friday, could have been Monday, could be Monday, could be Tuesday, Wednesday, something like that. But there's no signs that you're at a bottom. The minimum bottom in a healthy uptrend is back to the normal correction low. So I think there's been a cycle inversion. Now, Parker has this experiment. He's always experimenting with things, and that one is the double T, where you're getting various inversions. And I've seen people who do cycles, competent cycle people, will get caught up in having a B to C time projection going to invert, and it will, when it inverts, it goes exactly the opposite way. So it's entirely possible that what we're seeing next week is a top, early next week, that is going to have some kind of a correction. And offhand, I would just say that we go back to the normal correction law. Okay, so that's the... But... If you want to play it safe, you haven't run the T out. Sometimes what happens is you come down there and you come back up, and you come up and double top, and then you roll. But lately, the stock market hasn't been very forgiving on tops. So I would say that what you would say now, when you combine all this stuff, is that the market is in a risk zone. As far as going over to Treasury bonds, there's no evidence that the Treasury bonds are ready to receive anything. Okay? Gold is in a correction, but Parker's midpoint thing shows that it has further to go, but it could be going back to a moving average too. So it looks like you have to kind of figure this one out as cash for a while. And then, of course, if once you see what the oscillator goes down to, the blue volume oscillator on the volume one, so when you're looking for T's, you always use the volume oscillator, you don't use the advanced Klein oscillator. So if this thing, you could perk up and have come up above the zero line or something like that, because you had enough days, you had like 5 days down, so maybe the 3 days up isn't been enough to do it. But if it rolls over and it heads down, you're basically starting to see a rollover in the volume oscillator, which is very similar to the period from March into April of, going back just before we went into the May low. So that leads you into a condition where you're deteriorating, and the volume oscillator is always the best leading indicator. That's why Marty Schwartz always used the volume indicator, because he could get the lead indications. He knew that there was support around the zero line, and he could tell, like, for example, if you're having a weak rally from that September low, at the end of the third week, back of it, he used to call those rallies canine, because they're the doggy. Looking there's no losing force. So you can see that you're losing the force. Doesn't mean you have to turn bearish, but when you're losing the momentum, that the predecessor, the precursor, to the rollover, and as I suggested by this descending green trend line into another low in December, is that it just keeps getting worse on you, and so the rallies become less and less. When you factor in the argument that people that own common stocks are not too happy, that they're likely to be using a recovery back to point A, or the vicinity of A, is to get even, see? And that's how you end up with double tops. Anytime an advanced kind team makes a double bottom, it tends to make a double top. The double top is just the place where they're getting the people that missed the first top and trying to get out on the second top. So, all this doesn't mean you couldn't get up to the double top. It's just that it looks suspicious to me, like you have to go through a correction, then try and come back again. And the history on that one hasn't been too good. So, okay, so that winds up the story. And if you have a question with Jeffrey's work, then you email him, as I have the link below. And if you have Parker's, see, he's doing the Parker stuff. You could tag along with Parker, and there's easy ways to do that once you get familiar with how he's set up and so forth. And leave a comment, and if he wants to talk about it, he'll pass on the information if he thinks it's worthwhile. Okay, so that's it for this Sunday. Sorry about the microphone problem there. We'll get that straightened out, I guess, by next week. Bye-bye, and we'll be back next Sunday.